I wonder how you felt this week when you heard the news about the new restrictions coming to London this weekend. I don't know about you, but my phone almost had a meltdown with all the breaking news notifications that came through from BBC, from Sky News, from Twitter, all day Thursday and parts of Friday, updates and clarifications as restrictions were announced, explained again, argued against, tried to be explained again. Some notifications caught my attention. Others, though, were quickly silenced, muted, cleared. We live in a world of breaking news, of different things fighting for our attention, breaking up our concentration, trying to lure us in. Adverts, notifications, social media, smartphones. What will we choose to pay attention to today and in this world? See, we are surrounded by news, by opinions, by conspiracy theories, by rumours. In a world of news, what news will we choose to listen to and build our lives upon? The breaking news of the world? The rumours and conspiracy theories that battle for our attention? Or the good news of the gospel that looks to sustain us and fill us as we navigate the times we live in? Who or what do we have our internal aerials tuned to? The world or to the Holy Spirit who seeks to lead and guide us through the storms of life? Have we been filled with the Holy Spirit? Is he our resident boss? Have we encountered Jesus and been filled with the Holy Spirit, though, what message or news are we sharing with the world around us? Have we encountered Jesus, known his love, his power, his transformation? And then do we share that with the world around us? Do we join in with God's rescue plan for the world? Are we keeping the good news, this breaking news, the only news that breaks chains and restores relationships? Do we allow ourselves to help spread it in this world? Or have we too tuned our Jesus or our evangelism notifications onto mute? What might God want to inspire us or challenge us with from his living, breathing word today? Well, this morning and for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be looking together at the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's another of Paul's letters. Now, scholars think 1 Thessalonians was written in the year 49 AD. Paul, at the time, was resident in Corinth. And if we want to know what was going on for Paul, we can capture this time because it's written down for us in Acts chapter 18. See, this first letter to the church in Thessalonica is thought to be the second of Paul's letters. He wrote it some 10 years earlier than Philippians. Why does Paul write this letter? Well, things in Thessalonica were pretty difficult. We can read of Paul's time in the great city of Thessalonica in the first half of Acts 17. Because after Paul left Philippi, he then moved on to Thessalonica. We're told in Acts 17 that Paul spent three consecutive Sabbaths arguing for Jesus, sharing of the news of the resurrection in the synagogues. And there, we're told, is an immediate impact amongst those who listen. Many come to want to know more of what Paul is talking about, and it draws a huge reaction from the Jews resident in the city. You see, a mob forms, a riot happens. When the angry crowd cannot find Paul, they go instead to the house where they thought Paul was staying, the home of someone called Jason. Jason is brought before the authorities of the city, with the crowd laying two accusations upon him. Firstly, they say, these followers of the way, these Christians, are seeking to turn the world upside down. And secondly, these Christians are saying there is another king, not Caesar, but instead Jesus. Friends, could the same accusations still be said against those today who seek to follow Jesus? Are we happy and wanting to live in the opposite ways of the world? Do we live differently? Do we follow Jesus only as our King? challenge to each of us. However, in Acts 17, the city authorities are horrified. They're scared by these accusations against Jason, Paul, and these new believers. And Paul is sent away by the new believers for fear of his own safety. He goes to the next city, Berea, where Paul does exactly the same thing. He heads to the synagogue. He speaks about Jesus, and many hearts are again open to the good news. However, the crowd from Thessalonica hear that Paul is in Berea, and they come and cause a riot there again. This time, though, Paul has to leave and move further on. But he leaves behind Silas and Timothy to establish the churches to support these new believers in both Berea and Thessalonica. And so here is Paul, 360 miles up the road in Corinth, writing back to this newly established church in Thessalonica to encourage them to stand firm in their faith despite the opposition, despite the attacks against them. In the midst of challenge, he wanted to remind the church there who their hope was in, who they could place their trust in, and how they were to continue to live their faith out. Into a context of disruption and chaos, we encounter Paul's words. And today, in our times of uncertainty and anxiety, what might God want to speak afresh through his living, breathing word to us today? Let's jump into this chapter together. One Thessalonians is written from Paul, but addressed from with Silas and Timothy. It's a letter written by Paul, but sent from this core team. They and the church in Thessalonica are in this together. Indeed, in only five short chapters, Paul will use the word brothers or brethren 19 times. They're separated from each other by distance and circumstances, but they're in it together, united in their worship of God and their pursuit of what it means to live holy lives. Paul starts by reminding the church that they are loved. He always gives thanks to God for them, remembers before God their character, but also their attempts to live like Jesus. In verse 3, look at it with me, we see these three key characteristics named. This helpful summary of what it means to live out their faith. Paul commends them for their work of faith, their labour of love, and their steadfastness of hope. These three virtues are rooted, though, with action. Faith, love, and hope require input. There's graft involved, work and labour for faith and love, whilst pursuing hope in difficult circumstances. Notice, too, that faith, love, and hope are worked out in relationships with one another. Faith in God leads to love for one another. Faith in the goodness of God and in his promises to be with us, love for others worked out in the present, and hope clung to together for the future. These virtues are not just nice words, not just a nice fridge magnet, but characteristics and qualities to be worked upon and worked out in relationship with others as we inhabit the present while pointing to the future of Jesus coming back and all being made right. A huge theme in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is how to live well in the present, in the reality and with the full assurance that one day Jesus will return. There's a question throughout about being ready, but also how to reach out to others that they too might be ready for Christ's coming again. This is a letter about hope, but also about reassurance that God is at work and that there is work for all of us to be getting on with. It's a mission for them and for us today to join in with. It's also about the transformation that comes from encountering Jesus and how he has chosen you and is changing us. The transformation of encountering Jesus, the change in us that others too might see something different of us, that they might want to know more about the one who is transforming us. See, Paul says, we know, we have confidence that you are loved by God, that he has chosen you because you didn't just accept the good news about Jesus in words only, but also in power. Your full conviction was seen in action. There was an obvious transformation in you. Paul says, not only did you hear our words, but you also saw in our lifestyles a different way to live. And so you imitated us as we sought to imitate Jesus. And so in every area, you Thessalonians have become an example to all believers throughout the region. Church, people talk about you and of your faith. People share about how, church in Thessalonica, you turned from idols to serve the true and living God. The Thessalonians were part of a classic Greek city, full of Greek mythology. It might interest you to know that Thessalonica was just 50 miles from the site of Mount Olympus, where Zeus and all of the Greek gods were believed to live. But in hearing of Jesus Christ, they turned away from the other gods of the time. They left the idols behind. They turned fully to Jesus. Remember the accusation from Acts 17. They're declaring a different king, not Caesar, but Jesus. They're declaring different gods, not Zeus or any other Greek god, but this Jesus. And they're saying this Jesus is the only king, the only Lord. The Thessalonians were brave. This took courage. But it created an obvious transformation in the eyes of the world. They had turned their back on the culture and the beliefs of the time and sought to proclaim a different way. For what was their hope in? Well, verse 10 summarizes it for us. The Lord Jesus, sent from heaven, died, raised again to life, who will one day deliver us eternally. The good news of Jesus as it came to the new believers in Thessalonica through Paul's word and example brought transformation, produced faith, love, hope, gave the church a new purpose to join in with. They received the word of God in power. Despite the opposition, despite the turbulence that came, they knew the joy of the Holy Spirit. They had become an example to encourage believers throughout the whole region. They had known the love of God. They turned from what they knew to pursue fully the ways of God, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ only. They took a stand even though difficult times were happening. And as a result, many more came to faith. What might we want to unpack further for ourselves today? Well, firstly, have you received the gospel of the Lord in word and power? Do you know the joy of the Holy Spirit, your resident boss living in you, guiding you, transforming you from the inside out? Have you heard the word of God and received it? Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? Do you know him as Lord and Saviour today? The Thessalonians had turned away from their idols, from the other Greek gods, to worship Jesus alone. Have you? The gospel of Jesus had taken hold of the believers in Thessalonica. In words and in actions, in truth and in power, they were changed and lived out their faith for others to see. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the one who lived, died, and rose again for you? Do you know the one who died so that the wrong things that we've done, our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father, could be restored for all of eternity? Do you know the hope and love and joy knowing Jesus brings? Confess him as Lord today. Ask him into your life. Begin your journey of living with him. Despite the challenges or oppositions or uncertainty these times bring, say yes to Jesus and know his love and hope today and forevermore. For those of us who know Jesus, though, where are we at in our walk, in our work of faith, our labours of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we putting the work in to grow in our faith, or is our faith struggling at these times? Are we delving down deep into the anchor of Jesus in the midst of the storms, or are you being buffeted by the wind and the waves? Is there room for growth in our reading of Scripture or in our prayer lives? Does our faith, though, lead us to grow in our labours of love? Does our faith move us to action in service of others? How in this past week have you shown your love of God and how you've interacted or served others? How has your love of God been seen to those around you? And lastly, perhaps most challengingly in these times, how's your steadfast holding on to hope? Now, let's be clear and real. These are difficult times. Hey, I've been surprised personally by how low I felt in reaction to our move back into restrictions. Some of you know I was supposed to be in Scotland this weekend to celebrate my niece's first birthday. But it wasn't possible due to restrictions at home. And you know what? This week I have been sad, but I've also clung in hope to the one who does not let us down. To the one who is bigger and stronger than COVID-19 and all of the chaos that surrounds it. The one who is with us when our circumstances change, when we are unsure of what might happen next or what the future holds, we hold on in steadfast hope to the one who does. The one who holds the future in his hands. This week, are we looking upwards and outwards to follow in the steps of our Heavenly Father? In the midst of struggle, in the midst of changing times, in the midst perhaps of many of us from anxiety and fear, as Christians, are we placing our hope in Jesus, the anchor in our storms, our sure and set foundation? This week, how in our lives have we as followers of Jesus pointed others towards him? Where has our faith or trust or hope in the midst of chaos been noticed by others? Where have our actions caused people to question or wonder what it is that makes us different? Hey, there's something different about them. Hey, there's something different going on in them. They're different to how they used to be. Wonder what that is. Where are we provoking questions or thoughts or interests, not in ourselves, but in the one who fills us and brings meaning and hope? Where are we like signposts pointing people towards Jesus? Paul, though, also commended the Thessalonians for how they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Friends, are there idols or other gods we need to turn from? Not gods like Zeus or kings like Caesar, but perhaps an unhealthy relationship with power or money or relationships or status. In our gospel reading today, some disciples of the Pharisees come to try and trap Jesus. They ask him what they think is an impossible question with no good answer. They ask Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? See, they know if Jesus says they shouldn't pay taxes, then he will be arrested for advocating breaking the law. But if Jesus says they should pay the tax, he will upset the crowd, who are up to their necks in paying unpopular taxes at this time. What does Jesus do? Well, he asks for a coin. Notice with me perhaps a detail gone unseen before. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has to ask for a coin because he has nothing in his pockets. The King of Kings has to ask for change in order to make his point. Having received a coin from someone, he gives this now famous response: give to Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is his. Today, have we given God that which is his? Our time, our talents, our money, and our hearts. Or have we given our time, talents, money's hearts to something or someone else? Have we given back to God that which he asks us, or have we spent our money elsewhere? Have we given time that should have been spent with God or in service of him to other things? What gods or idols have we sacrificed our time, money, or hearts to instead of the living Lord Jesus? What do we need to turn from this week in order to more fully worship and serve the King of Kings? And lastly, there's a challenge for all of us about who we are sharing our faith with this week. See, Paul noted that the Thessalonians had heard the gospel, they'd received it, but they'd also then passed the good news on. In verse 8, Paul wrote, "The word of the Lord sounds forth from you." Now, the word in the Greek is clear that the Thessalonians are making a loud noise in their sharing of the gospel. It's ringing through the hills and valleys of Greece. The faith of the Thessalonians is well known around them. The message they are sharing is being received. Do we share the good news that way today? Who are we sharing this breaking news with? Yes, coronavirus is impacting our lives, but it's Jesus who brings transformation. Yes, times are uncertain, but God wins. Yes, restrictions and regulations are tough, but God is with us and he will see us through it. Yes, even though I do not know what tomorrow holds, I know the one who does. Who can you share a message of hope with today? Who can you pray for? What opportunities to share will you take today and in the coming week? How will your actions and words point people to Jesus? Who can you perhaps even share this service with as a means of encouragement? Who needs to know today that God isn't finished with them yet? Who needs a bit of hope or joy in their lives? Have you heard the good news of Jesus? Have you received it into your hearts? Is Jesus sitting on the throne? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Do you know his joy and love beating within you? And if the answer is yes to hearing the good news and receiving it, who then will you share this news with today? The gospel of Jesus Christ brings transformation, but it also calls us into action to join in with God's rescue plan for the world. The word of the Lord sounded forth from the Thessalonians. Will we today make a loud noise in sharing of the good news of Jesus today, wherever it is we join in from, wherever it is that God calls us into in the days ahead? The Thessalonians had heard the good news of Jesus. They'd received it into their hearts. They'd known the Holy Spirit filling them and transforming them. They'd turned away from the idols and false gods to worship only Jesus. Their witness in words and actions, their faith, love and hope had been noted by those around them. Their faith and their sharing of it was like a loud noise spreading throughout the city and region. They had good news to share, even in spite of difficult circumstances and opposition. How will we respond today? The same God that stirred them to action lives in us today. The good news that changed everything for the believers in Thessalonica is still the good news today. Jesus came from heaven, died and rose again to repair our relationship with the Father and to save us eternally. Having heard and received that news today, who will we share it with? Are we ready to be transformed and to see God transform those around us? Do we want to join in with God's rescue plan for the world? Who are you praying for? Who will you share the good news with this week? The world is looking for hope. Who will you share yours with today?